goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's Seymour Sleeps to go till Hampden, and we face our bitter rivals Dunfermline, and I can't handle it. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. I don't know how you are feeling, but I am shitting myself. I'm John McInally, and this is your preview episode ahead of the Scottish Cup semi-final against that lot from across the water. We're going to be doing that in the company of Stephen Mill of Radio Quaid fame, or Quaid One fame I should say, Fourth One fame, and BBC and Big Scottish Football podcast fame, and a friend and a colleague of mine, and I'm sure we'll get into the game just in a bit. No Ross, as we look ahead to the game, he's a busy man dealing with mortgages and what have you, but just a few bits and bobs to take care of before we get into the preview. Do you know what? We forgot to mention the other week there about your favourite Love Actually storylines, and it was only Grant Thompson who got in touch with us. Thank you very much, Grant, who said that anything with Joanna Page, who was in the porn storyline, he's all up for that. That's his favourite love story from Love Actually. Keep them coming in. We'd love to know what your favourite love story is from Love Actually. You know, before we talk about football and all that sort of stuff, that's really, really important. So let us know in the comments or slide into our DMs if you're embarrassed by admitting to the fact you have a favourite love story from Love Actually. Please, thank you, do that. A bit of a correspondence. Obviously, we had a bit of a ranty episode regarding all the trouble in the North Stand in the last show. A few people being in touch, wanting to rename anonymous. I'm sure you get a message regarding this, and that I'm also preaching to the choir. However, the stewarding in the North Stand today was a disgrace. How 50 opposing fans can be on the other side of the divide should never be allowed for the safety of both sides. Police and stewards just watched on. I was a fan in that section. I felt unsafe. Someone from the Cob needs to speak out about this and needs to be addressed, especially as we look ahead to the final game of the season. A few more like that. Just listening to your podcast regarding the police situation, a policeman, and I quote, "We're just here for criminality, crowd matters are for stewards." I mentioned the fact that sectarianism was a crime, and all I got was sentenced there from the young officer. More things coming in. David, great podcast again, guys. My thoughts would be to offer Rangers an ultimatum for the NC. Rangers fans can come, but all damages and security costs will have to be paid by Rangers FC. Win or lose or draw, there will be chaos. Graham says, yeah, I'm also an North Stand season ticket holder. Felt very let down how this was handled. However, historically, this has always been an issue. I remember Hope Street was bad and the gazebo days behind the goals was terrible for letting them in. Hopefully, the club has a solution for the last game as it boils my blood. Paul's another North Stand season ticket holder. He says, obviously, I won't be selling my season ticket at the final game, but there's no chance I'm going if there's no serious change to the way tickets in the stand are issued. It's a shame because I paid for it, but the atmosphere was absolutely toxic. It was the stewards and police just standing watching that spooked me. There were far more Rangers fans in that stand than those who were standing up and making it obvious. So many fans sitting on their hands, not celebrating Falkirk goals, etc. Colin says, it's simple for me. Allocate the normal away tickets and no more public sale. Then North Stand season ticket holders only in the home section. If you go to Dundee or Aberdeen, you have to get past two security checks. So put the same in place for away fans in the North Stand. The Club, however, did release a statement after we released Monday's episode, and it said, following yesterday's match, many Falkirk fans have contacted us about away fans obtaining tickets for the home and behaviour of these fans, which included a steward requiring medical attention. We've also received complaints about sectarianism from a large portion of fans. Football is passionate, but none of this is acceptable. We can condemn all the aforementioned incidents. We therefore apologise to our fans for the deeply unpleasant experience they were subject to. Falkirk FC will work with Police Scotland, steward partners, our colleagues at other clubs, the SPFL and SFA, and endeavour to improve the experience they were subjected to. So it looks like there are going to be places things in place, because it finishes off a statement saying, we're now considering further implications of yesterday's incidents for future matches against Rangers, including security and ticketing arrangements and former fans, once the decision has been taken. So something is getting done about it. We'll wait and see what that is. But yeah, I think the club understand that. I mean, it just wasn't on Sunday. You know, I had a rant about the police and I had a rant about the SPFL and SFA stance on the sectarian singing. Well, I don't think that's going to change, unfortunately. But, you know, if we are being serious about this, how do you stop that? I mean, how do you stop that? And certainly the police and stewarding definitely needs to look at that. So we shall wait and see with that. Before we get into Dunfermline, let's go a quick birthday corner visit and say happy birthday to Big Scott Cunningham. Scotty is 54 on semi-final day. Hope you get a great present that day, Scott, in the form of a Falkirk victory. And that's from Phil, Jack and Andrew. So happy birthday to Scott Cunningham, a regular at Falkirk Daft Live. Before we speak to Stephen about Dunfermline, I've got to say thanks as well to our episode sponsor, Carpetways. They started in Falkirk 25 years ago by the Kelly family and they're still going strong there. They recently won Scotland's Business Award for Best Multi-Site Flooring Carpet Business. So there you go. And they're doing a great deal in Falkirk right now. £799, you're going to get a full house deal. That's your whole house carpeted. That's exclusive to Falkirk. That's exclusive to this podcast. Carpetways.com/Falkirk. If you're thinking about getting the carpets done, get down there and you can get your full house done for £799. That's an incredible deal. Get there. It's in the Sovereign Building off Burnbank Road, which is obviously off Graham's Road. You'll know that. And if you're looking for a sofa as well, they say share it with Lazy Day Sofas. So you get foreign and new furniture at the same time. Smashing. There you go. And Artificial Gas, you know, they are. You're getting ready for summer. You think, I can't be bothered mowing the lawn. Why not get some artificial grass done by Carpetways? They do that too, from 20mm thick up to 40mm thick. You can get loads of that done. No more mud, no more mess. Your dog's not going to trail mud throughout the house now. This is great. So get down there. You're getting £9.99 per square metre. That's where prices are starting for that. So get down to carpetways.com/Falkirk or get down to the building itself, Burnbank Road, just off Graham's Road, and get involved with those great deals. Right, okay then, we'll put it off long enough now. Let's speak about that game at Hampden on Saturday and let's do it in the company of Stephen Mill.
How are you doing, John Mackey? All right, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to welcome you back, Stephen. You know, the last time we spoke to you, I think Falkirk were winning the championship, unbeaten against Dunfermline last season. I think that's now, looking at my facts, that's 5 unbeaten against Dunfermline, 3 wins and 2 draws to the Bairns. So, but it's great to have you back on.
No, listen, I mean, I'm glad you brought up last season because, you know, obviously, that was, what, 3 wins in the league and 1 draw, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Against arguably one of the worst Dunfermline teams in living memory. Right. And obviously, you'll have pumped us those 3 times when you play. Oh, no, that's right. You beat us by a goal each time. So it was very tight last season. And I expect a tight match.
No, we beat you 2-0 at East End Park in the first game.
Aye, that would. But even then, that doesn't count. Or suit my argument. So we'll move on. So, yeah, I mean, totally different game on Saturday, but it was really interesting to hear John McGlynn. I was watching Reporting Scotland the other night there, and had a wee interview with him. And, you know, it was just interesting to say that he's already thinking about either Celtic or St Mirren in the final, which actually ties in with a lot of what I've been seeing. Not from you, I must say, but certainly from your Falkirk Daft colleague who I was speaking to at the weekend. He already thinks you're in the final. And reading between the lines, you know, that was John McGlynn saying on the telly, on the news the other night that, you know, like, it would be a great achievement to get to the final.
A great achievement
to get to the final. And also he said, you know, and when you get there, it's Celtic or St Mirren. So it's a one-off final. So we fancy our chances. So that says to me that the mentality of Falkirk ties in with a lot of the fans at this moment in time who already think yous are in the final. And what I would say is, I think, you know, Falkirk obviously go into this as heavy, heavy, heavy favourites. I was actually thinking, outside of playing Celtic or Rangers in a semi-final, I don't think there's been a bigger favourite for a semi-final than Falkirk.
What a lot of shite you are spewing.
No, I think, well, it's, I think it's, I mean, Falkirk are what, in the top six of the Premiership? You're having your best season in living memory. You're going to have your best top flight finish in God knows how long. So yous are going into this as, you know, overwhelming, red hot favourites on Saturday. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be as clean cut as what you and the Falkirk fans and, by the looks of it, the Falkirk management think it's going to be on Saturday. I think it'll be quite tight, but I do think Falkirk go into it as heavy, heavy favourites, John. They have to.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do go into it as favourites, but, you know, the management certainly are not speaking that way, Stephen. Everything is prefaced with if we get past Dunfermline, and it's all.
You're already thinking about that. John McGlynn's already thinking about
it. He'll be saying the exact same thing. Neil Lindsay, it's a great opportunity, because you can guarantee the narrative will be, oh, you can meet Celtic in the final. And I guarantee you, if I troll through Lennon's chat, which obviously we're playing Airdrie last night, so he's probably not started his cup final cycle because you played Airdrie last night and you drew 2-2 with Airdrie. I know kept me back with it was one of the youngest sides ever to play in league football when you played
it. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
It literally was. I saw a stat this morning. I think it was the youngest ever starting lineup of any team in the SPFL era. So yeah, that gives you an indication about what the team looked like last night.
But, you know, you lost against Partick Thistle there at the weekend there, and, you know,
with another much changed team, I must say.
You know, coming into the game with a loss and a draw, obviously we were beating ourselves off Rangers, but, you know, levels. So it's, you know, it's interesting seeing the two sides.
Full strength team, though, you played against Rangers, though, wasn't it? It was a full strength team. That'll be much the team that will start, I would imagine, at the weekend.
Well, I don't know. We'll get into that in just a bit. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Looking, just pulled up the odds there, actually. You're obviously, Falkirk do go into favourites, pretty much even money at 3-4, 3-1 on Dunfermline to win the game there as well. So
I'll give you 20-1 for Dunfermline to win the game. I think Falkirk.
I love how you're trying to justify this in your head, the psychology that goes through your head.
I'm just sort of trying to play into what the sort of Falkirk narrative is.
I mean, yeah, you're going in that losing mentality, so you're quite happy to lose the game then, Stephen. I mean, going in with this mentality.
No, don't get me mistaken. I'll be gutted if we lose the game. Obviously, I'll be gutted if we lose the game. But I'm just going into it with realistic expectations. Mm. And, you know, like all the sort of noises that are coming out the Falkirk camp, they're already in the final, particularly from your mate Ross. And then obviously what I saw on the news from John McGlynn the other night as well. He's already written off Dunfermline, which is fine. I think it's totally fine. So,
honestly, is this story just going to continue? It was the same last season. You came in with all this. Oh, you know, it'd be a disaster if Falkirk were to throw away the league.
I didn't beat you last season, so I was right.
So I'm glad that
John, you're not saying if we win on Saturday, it'd be a disaster.
Well, it wouldn't be a disaster for us. Absolutely not.
If Dunfermline won on Saturday, you wouldn't be gutted then.
I would be gutted. You'd be gutted. You've just said you would be gutted as well.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But that's the thing. I'm coming in with no expectations because we're in the championship.
You're in the championship. Well done, by the way. Congratulations. I mean, your expectations of finishing fourth, it looks like you might finish third potentially. I mean, Raith Rovers are only 5 points away from you. We'd just like to hasten to add that. And in the form that you're in, losing one, drawing one, there could be a chance that they could maybe nip in there. Who knows? I mean, we'll wait and see.
I think in the last 10 games we've lost one, John. Right. So I think our form's all right going into this, to be honest with you. So I think we'll be fine in the playoffs. Well, don't you worry about us.
Finishing third in the championship, congratulations. I mean, it's beyond your expectations. You've spoken. You said fourth. I'll be happy with fourth. So it's great that you're finishing third in the championship.
Realistic expectations, John. That's good. What it is. A rebuilding year for Dunfermline.
It's been a rebuild for the last couple of years. It's kind of gone that way.
Oh, it has. It's been faltering for the last couple of years. I'll give you that.
Let's ask you, though. How are you feeling? I'm, you know, three sleeps to go. We're recording this podcast. I am shiting myself. Are you going under, like your pretense you're saying, like you're no pressure, like the team have no pressure on them? Is that how you're feeling? Is this a free hit for Dunfermline?
I wouldn't go as a free hit because obviously it's a big game, big rivalry and all the rest of it. So yeah, there's a wee bit of nerves and it's just that way where I just hope that the players can equip themselves well on Saturday against overwhelming favourites, Falkirk. So I just hope that we can. You know what? I actually, what I hope might happen, I think it's a realistic our most realistic chance of getting something out of the game and winning the game. See if we can take it to penalties. You know, I think that's what we'll be aiming for. If we can take it to penalties, John, that'll be classed as a success. We'll take our chances in penalty kicks and hopefully we can squeak through. Because I think otherwise, you know, I mean, Falkirk are just... Like, Falkirk are already in the final, according to your manager. So, like, we're going into this with zero expectations and all the pressure's on you. You know, it would be a disaster for yous to lose this game. It would probably be one of the biggest cup shocks in Scottish cup.
It would be the biggest cup shock in Scotland. Is that what you're calling it? Is it? In a one-off game, with one your rivals.
In cup history. So, but listen, I'm genuinely looking forward to the game because there's going to be a decent crowd from both sides. Both sell well over 10,000 tickets, which is great, I think. And it has all the feels of a big game. So I am genuinely looking forward to it. And, putting my serious hat on for a second, I think we've got a chance. And, you know, Falkirk are, as I say, overwhelming favourites, but we've got a chance. You never know. It's a one-off game. And we are playing. However, we've got so many injuries that I'm not as confident as what I would have been if we had a fully fit squad.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Andy Todd, like, he looks like he's out to the end of the season. Is that, or is Neil Lennon playing silly buggers?
I genuinely don't know. We can only go on what he's saying, and it looks like he's done something to his knee. So, you know, 16 goals this season, numerous assists as well. He's going to be a huge miss for us. However, Chris Kane is going to be fully fit. I think he can cause
problems. Is Chris Kane ever fully fit?
Well, Chris Kane is as fit as Chris Kane is fit. So I think he can cause problems, though, for your back line. I was watching the game on Sunday, obviously, against Rangers. I think going forward, obviously, you've got Miller and you've got Barney Stewart, who we know all about as well. But I think defensively, you can be got at. And I think Chris Kane will cause you problems. And of course, we've got Callum Morrison as well, who I know that you are shiting yourself about. Right. And he came on against Partick Thistle on Saturday, and I must say, he looked sharp. He looked really, really sharp.
It's very, very interesting as well. Obviously, Callum Morrison returned to Dunfermline, SPF, well, Championship Player of the Month last month. Barney Stewart, Premiership Player of the Month last month. Now, I suspect Dunfermline supporters are going through the same thing that we are with Callum Morrison, thinking there's a fairy tale going to be written there. You know, Callum Morrison coming back to haunt his former club, or will it be Barney Stewart, who started, you know, thank you very much for, you know, helping with his development. It's good to put our players out to lower league teams and, you know, develop them in that way.
You remember, quite a lot of your fans quite angry about that loan initially, to be perfectly honest.
I think they were, but I think, you know, they understood after, you know, that's how what happens in the Premiership. When you're a Premiership club, you get the opportunity to put some of your youngsters out to lower league sides and develop them, as Dunfermline have done. So if Barney Stewart, you know, was to score on Saturday and potentially win the game for Falkirk, we have Dunfermline to thank you for that. So honestly, Stephen, listen, I just want to say, if that is the case, I just want to put, I'll maybe write a letter to Jim Leishman potentially, and just and Neil Lennon, and just say, listen, we really appreciate your help in that, you know. So that'll be
slightly different, John, because I think, you know, Barney Stewart obviously came and did really well at Dunfermline, and he's kicked on at Falkirk as well, and he's a lovely guy.
We'll both agree he's a lovely, lovely guy.
He's a lovely guy, and I genuinely wish him all the best once he leaves Falkirk in the summer. And I think it's slightly
for
different.
For millions as well. And by the way, thank you so much for that as well. You know, we'll probably look at...
You'll be accepting a bit of about, I think, 75 grand or something like that.
Seven figures, and, you know...
If we go up, we might bid for them. So... I think it's slightly different, though, because Callum Morrison was on the verge of being, you know, immortal at Falkirk. He was one of the ones that was in the unbeaten League One season, obviously left when you were top of the Championship as well. And he was, you know, he was your best player. So
I think, in League One he was,
and the Championship as well. So I think it's slightly different. And I know that you're worried about Callum Morrison, but we do have threats from elsewhere in the team as well. Robbie Fraser was rested on Tuesday.
To be fair, he was having a very good season. You're probably your player of the season, Robbie Fraser, so far.
I would say so, yep. You know, in the middle of the park, Amadi has come into some great form. Charlie Gilmore has been one of the signings of the season.
Been quite impressed by him.
He's been fantastic. So I think it'll be an interesting battle in the middle of the pitch. Obviously, you're strong in there as well.
Chalkoa Mullen, he's out.
He's out.
It definitely out.
From what I'm hearing, he's out. Yeah. So
that's a big loss. He's again been one of your players of the season.
However, John Todd has come back after breaking his leg earlier on this season and looks like every bit the player that we're going to sell for a lot of money very, very soon. So John Todd has come back in and has been fantastic. Big Nuruddin Abdullahi, who played in the midfield actually against Ayrshire on Tuesday night, looked absolutely fantastic in there. And he's had a cracking season. He looks like he's fit as well. Kieran Gwenya, who has come from absolutely nowhere. He was out the door earlier on this season and now he's one of the first names
that's
on the team
that's
sheet.
A strange one because he was a member, he was obviously at Thistle as well. Wasn't he, Gwenya?
He's been phenomenal since he's come in at the team, and he'll start. And so I think Matty Todd will start on the right hand side as well. I think we'll probably play three at the back. Shea Kearney has got 90 minutes under his belt the other night. So listen, it's not ideal. We're missing some really important players, even like Zach Rudden. You know, we could be doing with Zach Rudden. We're a wee bit light on options. So that obviously all plays into Falkirk's favour as well. And I fully expect that, that Falkirk will win, obviously, because you're overwhelming favourites, red hot favourites, the biggest favourites in Scottish Cup semi-final
history. Scottish Cup semi-final history, yeah, absolutely. On Falkirk, though, Stephen, is there anyone you've watched a bit of Falkirk this season? Obviously, being in the Premiership, we're on telly quite a bit. So you've probably seen quite a bit of us on sports scene highlights and what have you. Anyone from the Falkirk side that you're worried, probably Barney Stewart aside, because I know you'll have that same in the back of your head, you'll be going, there's maybe a story to be written there. But is there anyone else in that Falkirk side? I mean, for me, Dunfermline, I've been really impressed with Charlie Gilmore, and the two players that actually, Chilco O'Mullen and Andy Todd, are both out, which is great news for Falkirk. But is there anyone from the Falkirk side you've went, you know, slightly concerned about that?
Obviously, Calvin Miller, who's having a cracking season, is probably on the verge of the Scotland squad as well. I would imagine. I don't think he's going to go to the World Cup, but he'll be there or thereabouts, definitely in this 55-man squad or whatever. I think he's looking pretty good. Apart from that, you know, as I say, like I think going forward, you look fairly decent. I'm more interested on how leaky you were against Rangers on Saturday, and every time they went forward, they just seemed to slice you open. Now, obviously, Rangers have much better players than we do, so you can't read too much into that. However, I do think that defensively, there's some questions over Falkirk, particularly in the central of defence. So I think that, yeah, we might get a wee bit of change out of that, but you never know. You never know.
I'll be very interested to see if Cole Donaldson plays on Saturday. He didn't have the greatest game and he looked a bit leggy in that second half against Rangers. So I think potentially it might be Philip Lisa, who's been one of the players of the season for us, moving into centre half, and then maybe Leon McCann being brought back in at left back.
Why did he do that against Rangers?
I think it was probably just a physicality thing, just in terms of height in the team. But will Morrison be playing off Kane, or will he be out on the right? That's going to be an interesting one.
I mean, I think how we've been playing is, it obviously depends what formation we go with, but I think, and who's fit, but I think Morrison has been sort of given a free role. Like,
right.
Morrison,
playing the 10.
I'll play whatever he wants, basically. So, and since he's come in, he's found his goal-scoring boots as well. I think he's going to be, and he's, you know what? He's got pace. And Falkirk are not going to change the way they play. Falkirk have only changed the way they play against Motherwell this season and had success with it, obviously. But generally, Falkirk play the same way, regardless of who they're playing. You saw that in the first half against Rangers on Saturday. And you also saw it in the second half against Rangers on Saturday as well. So I think that we know how Falkirk are going to play. And I think Lennon will set up his team accordingly to try and take advantage of any weaknesses that might be there.
How will Dunfermline play then? Do you think that Neil Lennon will try and sit in maybe with a five and break with Morrison's pace? Or do you think, usually, is it a 3-5? Do you usually 3-5-2? Or is it
3-4-3, 3-5-2. Yeah, it's kind of fluid. We switch to four at the back quite a lot as well. So some weeks we'll turn up and we're playing four at the back. Sometimes it'll be three at the back. So it is, we've got the players that can change it. So I think, I honestly don't know what he'll do. I think I prefer to see us playing three at the back. The fact that Mullen's out, I think that changes it slightly.
Benedictus will play?
No, I don't think Kyle Benedictus will play. I think if I was a betting man, I think we go three at the back. It'll be in Gwenya. I think Abdoulaye will play, and I think John Todd will play as well. But again, he has played 290 minutes this week as well, so maybe not. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know. I really don't know. If we play four at the back, it might be Kearney at right back as opposed to Matty Todd. I honestly don't know. I don't know. But I think Kane and Morrison are 100% going to start. I think you can... Kane and Morrison, 100% starters. Gilmore and Amadi, 100% starters. Robbie Fraser, 100% starter. Oxburgh starting goals. And then it's just what formation he wants to play depends on the other people who've been in the starting lineup.
I'm trying to think, Stephen. Did you have VAR at either the Hibs or the Aberdeen game?
Did we? I don't think so. Did we have it at the Aberdeen game? I'm not sure we did.
I don't know if it was in or not. I can't.
Obviously, the John Beaton has been announced as the referee, and you know, I'd never thought I'd say these words, but I hope there's no injury to John Beaton because the replacement is Duncan Nicholson, who is the worst referee.
Oh my God! I think we'll both agree on that.
Appalling. I mean, I don't think John Beaton's particularly good, but he's definitely better than Duncan Nicholson, who is, I don't think, ever watched a game of football before. So, absolutely appalling. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully there's no big controversial calls, but you never know.
Dunfermline never had a VAR.
Yeah,
and this has not been wide, but I have Dunfermline actually had VAR, because I know the first time we encountered VAR was in the semi-final against Inverness 3 seasons ago, and we got done by it in the first 10 minutes from a handball. Dunfermline ever had VAR?
Yes, I think we had VAR when we played Aberdeen in the Cup last season.
Right,
so,
okay.
Up at Pittodrie. I think anyway. I'm not entirely sure. But hopefully it doesn't come down to that. I don't want a dodgy VAR decision deciding the semi-final, because obviously it'll go in Falkirk's favour. So I think I'd rather stay away from that. Hopefully there's no controversy in that sort of neck of the woods, and hopefully it's a good clean game. That's what I want, John.
A good clean game, right?
I do think, unless it's in our favour, if somebody got sent off early on, that would ruin it a wee bit, I do think. So hopefully there's nothing like that. I did have a slight concern about Cal Morrison losing the head, because he is capable of it. So
it's okay. We've got plenty of those in our set. Dylan Tate is a very good possibility that in a game like that he could lose the head as well. But we'll wait and see. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot of our players going into this probably experienced in the first half. We've obviously got the season pros of the Derby. When you talk about Liam Henderson, you've got Brad Spencer still in there. Calvin Miller's played in it. But some of the younger players who've brought in loan, like Ben Brosio from Aston Villa, or Lisa, who's coming for Swansea, it's going to be a bit of a I don't know if they'll expect what they're going to get. they'll be thinking...
It'll be interesting. They probably don't know anything about it. And I think there's lots of people who... I mean, it'll be the number one question you'll have been asked in Ross and over the past sort of like months or so, like, what's this all about? Why do you hate
Every time people ask, why do you hate each other? And it, like, from the outside looking in, you're just like, well, we're just rivals. You go back to all the things about the mining strikes. There's the chat about ice hockey. I think, and it doesn't come to any of that. I think it's just that we just don't like each other, and we're close to each other, and we're very similar sized clubs at a very similar size up and down kind of level, you know?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, to be honest with you. Obviously, we're a bigger club, but you know, when you get... Well, we've got four sides to our stadium for a start, so I think...
But you're still in the Championship, yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's... you know, form is temporary, class is permanent, and all the rest of it. So, I am genuinely looking forward to it, and it's nice going into it with no expectations, no heavy pressure on us, which is obviously all on Falkirk. So,
Score, what do you think?
I think it'll be 2-2. And then it'll go to extra time and penalties, and Dunfermline win on penalties. That's what I think will happen. I genuinely do think there'll be goals. I think we'll both score.
I do think we might both score, and I do think it might be a nervy 2-1 to Falkirk, I think.
I hope not, but there we are. So, regardless, we'll meet for a drink afterwards, won't we, John?
We will not, Stephen.
Neither will I.
I am leaving the country if Dunfermline beat us. You will not see me at work on Monday. I am emigrating to Australia, if that is. I'll be booking my flights straight after the final whistle.
You don't like people from Falkirk in Australia, John. Come on. We've been through this before. Right, okay. I'll see you on Monday.
Oh, no, because because we always do a quiz in Falkirk Daft and it's how well do you know your team quiz, right? So, you know, obviously Ross appeared on your BBC Scotland show recently.
You only got all this shite for AI as well, so half of it will be wrong.
Right,
so.
Okay. But obviously, you know, you did the Ross. I mean, you pulled his pants down on that car. You read your answers very slowly, right? So there'll be no funny, Ross isn't here. There's going to be no funny buggers. I'm just going to ask you 10 questions in 60 seconds. You've just got to answer them, okay? And there'll be no slowing down. There'll be no hard questions. They're all at a level. And that's it. Just going down the leaderboard, we've currently got three teams on 8 points at the top. That would be Aberdeen, represented by Sheepy. That'll be Rangers, represented by Jay Blakely. Last week did very well. Callum Bell, unbelievable, he got 8 points. A couple other names you might want to beat on the leaderboard. Craig Telford got 7 for Stenny. Ewan got 6 for Hearts. I don't know how the fuck he managed that. I don't understand that. Bottom of the table, Craig Fowler got 3 for Hearts as well. And right at the bottom of the table, Beth Wallace got 1 point for Aberdeen. So that to be. Right, so no funny buggers from me, Stephen. Just 10 questions. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock and just got to answer it as many as you can. Right. Are you ready for your questions?
I've got a 60-second timer here if you want.
Okay, it's okay. can you play it through the desk? Go and see if you can play it through the desk. Oh, I'm not getting it, unfortunately. Right. I've got the timer here, though, so here we go. Right, you're ready for your questions. Here we go. Your time starts now. In the year Dunfermline lost the Scottish Cup semi-final, they finished third in the league and lost out to Queen of the South in the Challenge Cup. Who was the club's top scorer that season?
Andy Kirk.
Jim Leishman was born in Loch Gelly and is currently the Provost of Fife and Honorary Director at Dunfermline Athletic Football Club. He came to office in June 2012, but can you tell me when he first joined the club as a player?
What year?
Yeah.
1969.
Neil Francis Lennon is now in charge of the Pars after spells as manager at the likes of Celtic, Hibs and Bolton. He's a Northern Ireland international and helped the club avoid relegation last season from the Scottish Championship. But who was his first game against as Dunfermline manager?
It was against... was it Ayr United?
Andy Todd and John Todd are currently part of the Dunfermline squad and are sons of club legend Andy Todd Sr. He himself was a versatile player playing both defence and up front, but can you name any of the clubs he had a loan spell at while at the Pars?
Bradford?
Time is up. That's a minute.
That's a minute. No,
that's a minute. I mean...
Those are quite difficult, John. Those are quite difficult.
I mean, listen, like we only managed to get through 4 questions in a minute there, which is, you know, quite...
That's not ideal. I was promised 10, so what?
I can go through the rest. You've got your score, but let's go through the rest of the last question, shall we, Stephen? Hungarian international Isvan Kozma moved to Dunfermline in 1989, became a firm favourite with the fans, and won a surprising move to Graham Souness's Liverpool in 1992, earning the Pars a club record 600,000. But can you spell Isvan?
Istvan.
You forgot the accent over the A. Never mind. 1968 Scottish Cup final was the 83rd staging of Scotland's most prestigious football knockout competition. The cup was won by Dunfermline, who defeated Hearts in the final. The attendance was a very healthy 56,365. But who scored the penalty in that game?
Oh, I've got no idea. No idea.
You lost. That's in the STV television series Taggart, the writer and Dunfermline fan Stuart Hepburn used the names of the 1968 Scottish Cup winning side for the characters in a 2003 episode. But what was Taggart's first name?
Was it not Jim? Jim Taggart.
I mean, this is just for play now, Stephen. We'll go back to your score in a minute. Dunfermline Football Club, was formed in 1874 when members of the Dunfermline Cricket Club decided to establish a football section with the intention of maintaining fitness during the winter. A dispute over club membership caused some members to split away to Dunfermline Cricket Club, which resulted in the creation of Dunfermline Athletic Football Club on June 2nd, 1885. The club have played at East End Park since their formation. However, the pitch they initially played on was slightly west of the present stadium. What was the name of that pitch?
I've got no idea.
It was East End Park. Which team had an invincible season in League One before going on to become back-to-back champions while remaining unbeaten against Dunfermline and then going on to finish in the top six in the Premiership the season after?
I think it was Fortunate Falkirk.
There we go. And final question. How many league goals has Barry Stewart scored in total this season?
17?
14. There you go. But there you go, Stephen. You did very well. I mean, there was no funny buggers. I read them at a good pace and we got there. And then Andy Kirk, you got Jim Leishman, was 1970, so you didn't get that. Air United, well played, was Neil Lennon's first game. And Bradford, you got that as well, so...
Despite the fact, and I was 1 year out for Leishman's one.
That's not bad going. That's not bad going. I mean, they're fairly easy questions, to be honest with you. Fairly simple questions. And like I say, no funny buggers to the question. I would say that's at a level.
Okay, right. Well,
three out of four. Well done.
I think so.
That puts you second, joint second bottom of the table. You and that had a go at that as well. You've got 3 points back in December. So there you go. Stephen Purd didn't go up. 3 points as well, so there we go.
Oh, well, listen, I can hold my head up high. That's fine. That's fine. Don't worry about that.
Well done. Stephen, best... No, I'm getting to say best of luck on Saturday because I say that to most of the people that come. I was like, fuck off, Stephen. I hope he's get pumped on Saturday.
Yeah, I hope we leather you as well. So, I'll speak to you next week anyway, all right?
I'll see you maybe on Monday. One of us is handing a resignation on Monday. We'll wait for
a career ender for both of us.
It's a career ender. It's like the WWE. It's like when they have one of those matches to end their career, like Shawn Michaels going out to Ric Flair when he got retired by Shawn Michaels. It's going to be one of those. We'll wait and find out what happens Saturday at 12:30. Thank you, Stephen Mill.
Thanks for having me on.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
And there you have it. He goes into the distance now. Stephen Mill there, only getting three on the quiz. No funny buggers, like I say, at all. Thanks for Stephen for coming on. He's a Dunfermline supporter, but you know what? He's a good lad and he's a good mate as well. So, right, but hopefully his prediction of 2-2 in penalties doesn't come true at the weekend. My heart could not handle a penalty shootout. I think I would just have to leave the stadium. I really do think. But anyway, we'll see what happens come Saturday, 12:30. I mean, like, there'll be a lot of confident Falkirk supporters out there, and God love you. I wish I was that confident as you are, but I'm just a bag of nerves right now because it's a cup game, it's our biggest rivals. Anything can happen. John McGlynn will not be feeling the way I do. He will be very confident. Hopefully the players are very confident. You know, if we go and play our game, go out how we've played all season, we should hopefully win. But it's a cup semi-final against the bigger... Honestly, my head's fried. Listen, thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening for Falkirk Daft. Thanks, shout out to our sponsors as well, who are with us all the time. Falkirk Football Fit, Football Fans and Training, the T8s. Got some new details on them coming on next week's episode. Some very exciting news from their side, so we'll give you that on Monday when we look back at the Dunfermline game. Also thanks to Behind the Wall. Was in the pub yesterday speaking to Bobby. Nothing's going to change with Behind the Wall, by the way. Just, you know, even though Brian's now, Bobby's now in charge of it, and it, you know, it's going to go from strength to strength at the pub. So thanks very much to Behind the Wall, who are our big long-time backers here. And hopefully, after a Dunfermline win, you'll be celebrating with a couple of Falkirk Daft Venoms up there on Saturday night. If we do win, I'll see you up there. If we don't win, I'll be moping down the road and crying myself to sleep. There you go. Remember, you can sign up to our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just message, type in Falkirk Daft, the search engine. You'll also get merch if you're looking. In fact, you're probably late to get it for the cup, same now, but merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk is where you'll get that. And also join the Discord channel. There's a lot of chat going on there up to the semi-final, so that link is below for that. Or slide into our emails. If you're thinking about sponsoring the show, we've got opportunities probably for next season now, because we're full up to the end of this season. But if you do want to sponsor the show, we always... love your support, and we'll always give a good sell for your business and keeping it in the Falkirk family. Just slide in to our emails, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk, and we'll do you a good deal. I promise you that for your business. Right, okay, it's on towards the Hampden now. Hopefully you enjoy your day. I am getting the train from Larbert. Hopefully, I believe the pubs that you can go to get a pint at 9 a.m. are either the Counting House or Druthy and Ebers. So I'll maybe see you in one of them. If you are about, come and say hello. It'd be good to speak to you. And then it's on to Hampden for the 12:30 kickoff. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed Stephen Mill's banter. We'll see you on the next one. And until that one, expect the unexpected. Come on, Bears.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. or Folk of Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folk of Daft, we're Folk of Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk or dead, we're Folk of Daft. We are Folk of Daft.